Okay, we're continuing our series. We started a few weeks ago on the heart of Kingwood, our core values. I wonder if any of you have a picture that looks kind of like this in your house. Anybody have something that looks like that? Can you see that? Do you know what that is? How many of you know what that is? Yeah, it's a height chart, right? You take some, out of the way door frame in your house, and when your kids start growing up, you mark them. And as the years go by, if you don't move or you don't paint over it, you get to see something really exciting happen. You go, man, 3 years ago you were this tall, now you're this tall. 5 years ago you're this tall, now you're this tall. Now I'm looking at you eye to eye. Isn't it fun to watch your kids grow? It's exciting. Now, maybe some of you have plants or a garden, and kind of the same idea, but you see it more quickly. You can see a plant grow, or the very first bloom that comes out, or if you're a gardener. How many of you are gardeners? How many gardens do we have in the room? I'm looking for vegetables. Anybody a gardener in here? Okay, there you go. Fruit trees. Isn't it fun? You see those blooms pop out, and you know it's not going to be long that fruit's coming. And it's so exciting. All right, here's one that's going to apply to a lot of people. How many pet owners do we have in the room? Okay, a lot of pet owners. So how many of you got your puppy or kitten or iguana or, duckbill platypus or whatever it is you're into, you got it when it was a baby? Yeah? Isn't it fun to watch those little guys grow? It's fun because there's that sense of progress, right? Like you can see, like the height chart on the wall or the flower or the plant or whatever, you can begin to see progress be made, and you can begin to see that person or plant or pet or whatever it is get stronger and faster and more mature and smarter and wiser. And it's just a really exciting thing to watch that whole process begin to occur. Also, there's the unknown. When something starts to grow, you don't know what it's going to grow into. Nobody knows when they plant a seed how many flowers that plant's going to have. Nobody knows when they plant a seed how much fruit that plant is going to bear. Nobody knows when they have a child what that child will grow up to be. Nobody knows what that child will grow up to do. But that entire process of growth is so exciting, and everything God made, He made it to grow, including you. Everything He made it to grow. So our core value we're talking about today is this: growing leaders grow everyone. Growing leaders grow everyone. So here's what a core value is. A core value is a hill that you're willing to die on. A core value is a belief that drives why you do what you do and how you do what you do. A core value reflects the culture of a group of people. So in our church, and every church is a little uniquely different, there's some things that all churches have in common, but there's some things that make every church family unique, and that's the culture of the church. And so the culture of our church is reflected in our core values. So Kingwood Church is this kind of church. Let me just remind you of the core values we've covered so far. God's presence changes everything. Life is better together. So our church is the kind of culture where God's presence, we believe God's presence changes everything. It's the kind of culture where we believe life is better together. So that affects how we do everything. Our church is the kind of culture where changed people change the world. Our church is the kind of culture where growing leaders grow everyone. Now, you might be already thinking, stop you right there. I'm not a leader. So what does this have to do with me? I love the questions that you ask. I'm so glad you asked that question. Because what I want to do is I want to take that statement and I want to break it down a word at a time, and I want to show you why it matters to everyone here and online. So let's look at the statement, growing leaders grow everyone, and let's look at that first word, growing. Whether you're a leader or not, God has called you to grow, yes? That's not a trick question. Whether you're a leader or not, God has called you to grow, yes? Yes, there you are, okay. Whether you're old or whether you're young, one of the most powerful words in the English language that you and I can ever hear is the word potential. So the question is, have you reached your potential? Has Kingwood Church reached its potential? Well, the answer is no. We have not reached our potential, and I dare say that most of us individually have not reached our potential. So what can we do about that? Well, I just want to show you a little picture, a graphic that I sketched up with the help of AI that will help us see. If you are here and your potential is over here, if there's a gap between where you currently are and what your potential is, there's only one way to get there. You have to grow, right? There's only one way for a seed to become a full-grown plant. It has to grow. There's only one way for a puppy to become a dog. It's got to grow. There's only one way for a baby to become an adult. It's got to grow. And so there's only one way for our church to fulfill its potential, and it's that we have to grow. And I don't mean numerically, that's part of it, but that's not by any stretch of the imagination all of it. Just like physically, when you're a baby, you have to grow to become a physical adult, but just because your body came to full-grown maturity doesn't mean that that's all there is to grow. Nobody wants an adult that acts like a three-year-old. You might have the body of an adult, but if you don't have what's inside, that's no good. So the only way to get there is to grow. Did you know even Jesus had to grow? Did you know that? Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I looked up the Greek word there for grow because I thought, I know there's some hidden mystery inside there in the Greek language. If I can see what the word really means, maybe it'll shed some light on this. I looked up, I read it. You know what it means? Grow. That's what it means. It means to advance, to make progress. It just means to grow. And I thought, I'll just use the word grow. But I want you to think about how this worked in Jesus' life. Jesus was not born at his full potential. He was not the full Messiah at his birth. He had to grow to it. He had the potential to be the Messiah. But he had not reached that potential until he grew. He was not ready to die for the sins of the world at 12. And that's the reason that he waited until he was 30 years old until he started his ministry. Because he hadn't grown into it yet. He hadn't reached his full potential yet. Jesus couldn't be the Messiah without growth. Now, I'm just going to guess, if Jesus couldn't be the Messiah without some growth, you and I can't fulfill our potential without some growth. So we have to grow. Now, God's not going to zap you. Like, we can't have a prayer time, and we're going to pray for you, and you're going to be zapped into full-grown maturity. Wouldn't that be great? I'd be in line. Hit me. Like, right between the eyes with a nuclear prayer missile and make it count. Like, I want it all, right? But that's not how it happens. There is no cheat code, there is no hack, and there is no shortcut. In order for you and I to fulfill our full potential, we all have to go the same direction. We have to grow. So what you can do is you can spend your life investing in growth and fulfill your potential, or you can squander your life not investing in growth and never fulfilling your potential. And we all have that decision to make. Once Mark Twain made a comment about a friend, an acquaintance who had passed away. He said he died at 30, they buried him at 60. You know what that means? He stopped growing at 30. He just existed and survived after that. So I got a question for you this morning. Are you just going through the motions? Are you growing? Are you just on rinse and repeat and recycle and just repeat things the way they were last month and last year and 5 years ago? Are you growing, or are you just repeating your life? It's like Groundhog Day. You're just living another version of it over and over and over and over. Well, one of the ways that you can measure that is, do you have a plan to grow? Because what you don't do intentionally, you generally don't do at all. Do you have a plan to grow? So I want to give you the simplest plan that I know. We don't have time to do a deep dive in it, but it's very simple to understand, and I'll show you how anybody, anywhere, can start to grow in any area that you want to grow in. If it's parenting or marriage or leadership or prayer or whatever it is, here's one of the greatest ways to grow. Here's the first step. Seek new knowledge. So get new knowledge about whatever it is that you want to grow in. Now, a lot of times, because this is the way our culture is bent, we think because we understand something that we've grown. Better understanding doesn't grow you. It just gives you the tool to grow. Seek new knowledge, but here's the magic. Apply what you're learning. Until you start practicing what you're learning, nothing's going to happen. Jesus told a parable about a man who built his house on the rock and another who built his house on the sand. They both got new knowledge. They both got new information. They both got truth that was new to them. One applied it and built his house on the rock. The other one did not and built his house on the sand. So the whole trick of it all is, are you applying what you're learning? And then the last step is reflect with a mentor. And all I mean by mentor is this. Let's say it's prayer. Let's say you want to grow in prayer. Do you know anybody in your life that's further ahead in prayer than you are? Do you know anybody in your life that's further ahead at reading the Bible than you are? Do you know anybody in life that's further ahead in marriage or parenting or whatever it is you want to grow in than you are? Then ask them if they'll spend a few minutes with you and reflect with them. Here's what I learned. Here's what I did. Talk to me. Here's what I learned. Here's what I did. Talk to me. And that dynamic will create a momentum of growth inside your life that will actually change your life. Now, here's what you need to know about new knowledge, okay? I know some people are like, what does that mean? All truth is God's truth, but not all truth is equal. Let me say that again. All truth is God's truth, but not all truth is equal. There's the capital T truth, which is revealed in Scripture, centered in the person of Jesus. There's lower case truth, which is any truth you find anywhere in the world in any field. Because God is the source of truth, and if you find it in science or a movie or at a class or wherever, it can come from anywhere. But all lowercase truth is subject to capital truth. So wherever you find that truth you're trying to apply, just make sure it's in submission to what we call the capital T truth. So growing leaders grow everyone. All right, we talked about the word growing. Now let's talk about the word leaders. You know, I find that we have this tendency in our life to categorize things in two basic categories, spiritual and non-spiritual, or more spiritual and less spiritual. And the truth is we tend to define them that way based on how we feel. It's not really objective. It's not really measured in any way. We don't have any way to necessarily prove it. It's just how we feel about it. So let me give you some examples. In the spiritual category, we would say that God put worship in the spiritual category. But work, that's not real spiritual. You know, you show up Monday morning, 7:30, with your coffee in your hand, dragging from the weekend, you know, maybe your team won or lost, I don't know. You show up and you're like, there's nothing spiritual about this. This is just work, right? That's how we feel. Or church is spiritual, home is unspiritual. Or maybe reading the Bible is spiritual, but, you know, managing things is unspiritual. And there's part of us that kind of intuitively realizes that all of that unspiritual or less spiritual stuff has to get done, but it's not very spiritual. So if I were to give you a choice this morning, I would say, I want you to pick between these two things, and I want you to label one of them spiritual and one of them unspiritual. I wonder what category you would put these two in. If I said prayer, what category you'd say, oh, that's spiritual. But what if I said leadership? You'd say, oh, well, that's unspiritual. Like, it's a necessary thing, but it's not really spiritual. Okay. Spiritual gifts, are they spiritual or unspiritual? It's not a trick question. The answer's in the question. Spiritual gifts, are they spiritual or unspiritual? Okay, I'm glad you're here. We haven't even lost an hour of sleep yet. I don't know what's going on. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Listen to what it says. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now jump down to verse 8. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. So, leadership is a spiritual gift that God gave to the church. And it's vital to the mission of the church. And it's just as spiritual as other things that we feel more spiritual about, like worship and prayer and preaching and care. It's just as spiritual because it's a spiritual gift. Now, I'll prove it to you. You ready? I'm going to give you a test that you can answer for yourself. And if you have a different answer than the one I'm looking for, I want to know about it. I want you to name one church that you've ever known in your entire lifetime that is effective and fruitful that has bad leadership. Name one. You can't. You know why? Because leadership is spiritual. God gave it to the church for the mission of the church. And it is a spiritual reality that we need not allow Satan to steal from us, because God gave it to us to help us. Now, I understand there's a backstory to all of this that's probably going on in some of your mind right now. Leadership has fallen on hard times, has it not? There's no shortage of examples that will hit your social media feed and your media feed day and night, of leaders who have fallen and leaders who have disappointed us, and sometimes even leaders who have hurt us. And to be honest, it's a very difficult time to be a leader. Because if you're a leader in this current environment, there's always somebody waiting for you to make a mistake, or but they think you made a mistake. Whether you do it or not, and they're just going to tear you down. That's what we do in politics all the time. That's what we do in the news all the time. We just wait for a vulnerability and we literally dismantle another person, and it's truth bomb and all of this, you know, got you. And so it's a tough time to be a leader because we live in a culture of anger and division and brokenness and outrage. So it's a difficult time to be a leader, and you have a lot of people that are avoiding leadership now. They don't even want to be. Maybe they're gifted to be a leader. Maybe they're called to be a leader, but they're avoiding it because the climate is so toxic. But I want to tell you something, and I want you to zero in on what I'm about to tell you. This is not the first time in history we've been in an environment like this. And I've got news for you. In every one of those moments, God has raised up and called leaders who were ready for such a time as this. And he's done it then. And let me just give you some examples to stir your faith this morning. When the people of Israel were in slavery in Egypt, God raised up Moses to lead them out. When the people had no justice or righteousness in the ruling class, God raised up a lady named Deborah who was a just leader. God raised up David to be a shepherd king and lead God's people. When the walls of Jerusalem were torn to the ground, God raised up Nehemiah to rebuild those walls. When God's people were about to be decimated by genocide, God raised up a woman named Esther who became queen, who Mordecai said, for such a time as this. When the entire nation was in captivity and everybody was worshiping false gods, do you know what God did? He raised up Daniel, who opened his windows and prayed toward Jerusalem three times a day and would not bow his knee. When we make it to the New Testament, God raised up the Apostle Peter to be a missionary to the Jews and the Apostle Paul to be a missionary to the Gentiles. And last week we saw God raised up a broken woman at a well who became the pastor of a Samaritan church. And then he raised up Priscilla and Aquila who pastored a house church. And through Paul the Apostle, he raised up Timothy while Paul was in a Roman prison to continue the work of the church after he was gone. And I got news for you, if we had another hour, we could go through the last 2,000 years of church history and we could highlight people that God has raised up for such a time as this. He did it then and he's going to do it now. He's going to keep doing it. So, growing leaders, let's look at the last part. Grow everyone. Jesus built the church. Jesus' legacy is the church. How did he do it? He took a small group of disciples, apostles, and he trained them and grew them for 3 years. And most of them were leaders. And what happened to them? In the first 30 years of the church, you can track the fruit of their life through the book of Acts. And let me tell you what they did in 30 years. They took the gospel to 32 countries and 54 cities and 9 islands. And you know why? Because growing leaders grow everyone. Growing leaders grow everyone. So let's just take some practical examples from my own life. If you have a student in a classroom who grows, it won't affect the classroom much. But if the teacher of that classroom starts growing, the whole class will get better. You take a child, and I've seen this, I've watched it. You take a child in a family or a teenager in a family that really starts to grow, and the other family members will just move on like nothing happened, and it doesn't make much of a difference. But if you let the parents, especially the dad, start to grow, it'll make the whole family better. You take somebody on, let's say somebody that serves here at Kingwood who serves on a ministry team. You let a team member on that team start to grow, it won't affect the team much. But if the leader starts to grow, the whole team gets better. You take a church member who starts to grow, it won't change the church much. But when a pastor starts to grow, the whole church starts getting better. Do you see, leadership is a gift that God has given us to be a catalyst, to be a leverage point for good. Just because it's not always used for good doesn't mean that wasn't God's purpose. It's used as a leverage point for good. And that's why that we have to be laser focused in our church on helping our leaders grow. Now, you may say, look, I told you when we started this, I'm not a leader. You might not be, but I guarantee you this, you have leaders in your life. And you have leaders that you follow. And don't you want them to grow? Wouldn't it help you if they grew? Isn't it actually the best thing for you if the leaders that you follow at work, in your home, at church, wherever it is, isn't it better for you if they grow? Yes, this is relevant and it impacts every one of us and all of us. So, let's talk for a minute about Kingwood Church. How many of you would just honestly say, this is the very first time you've ever heard the phrase, growing leaders grow everyone? How many of you would say it's the first time you've ever heard it? Just lift your hand up. Let me see it. Hold it up for a second. I want everybody to look around. Okay, so I don't know. Quarter, half, a third maybe? Quite a few can't quite see the balcony. Okay, a third maybe? Maybe a half? Okay. Here's the story. Unsurprisingly, many of you have never even heard that phrase. And I wish I could stand here this morning and tell you that this is a core value of our church. It is on our website. It's pretty. You can go look at it. It's decorated nice. It's the right color. It's the right font. And it matches all the other things on the website. It's so good. The only thing is, it's not one of our core values. Not because it shouldn't be, because it's not. Because we have not invested enough in it. We have not invested in this core value in our church, and we've not invested enough in leaders. But here's what I want to say to you, if you'll just let me take a few minutes and kind of pastor us. Leadership is the single area that's holding our church back the most. It's the single area. Whatever all the other ideas that you think it could be, I'm saying to you through a lot of prayer and conversation with our leadership team, that our leadership team has discerned, this is the number one area that's holding us back the most and has been most neglected. Let me just give you two examples that hopefully will make this clearer. So we have 41 leadership roles in our church with no leader. 41. We have 92 leaders in our church who have no one currently being trained to take their place whenever there's a transition. So how does that hold us back? Here's how it holds us back. The 41 roles who have no leader in it, that work still has to be done. Do you know who does it? Our staff. So our staff is supposed to be training and equipping leaders for the future, but they're functioning in these roles that there's not a leader in. And then 92 leaders that have no one being prepared or trained or raised up to move in that spot when that person moves up or over or whatever. Our staff manages all those transitions. And every time a person transitions, our staff is pulled in to hold that area together until something else can happen. So we have an awareness gap in our church, or maybe an unawareness gap, that most of the people at our church don't understand how much that is holding us back. See, what we've got is your shoe should never tell your foot how much it can grow, right? But that's what's happening. Our leadership structure, our leadership strength is telling our church how much of a movement of hope it can be. It's limiting us. And so the awareness gap is most people aren't aware how big of a deal this is and how much of a ceiling it is on us, how much it limits us. So if you think about it like this, the people in our church who are clearest about this limitation are the people who carry the most responsibility. You find someone who carries a lot of responsibility at our church and ask them, hey, is this true? And does this matter? And is it limiting us? And they can talk to you as long as you want to talk. However, the lower responsibility you carry in our church, the less clear this is. Serve it. Everything looks fine. It feels fine. It feels strong. And our church has a lot of strengths. But it's time for us to get on the same page. I came today to close the awareness gap. Because we have to get really clear and really focused on what we need to do in the future so that our church can do what God called it to do and be a movement of hope. Let me just give you one example for those of you who are thinking, oh, we'll just pray and it'll all go away. Prayer's always part of the answer, but it's never the whole answer. And so let me give you an example. What if we had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Isn't that what we pray for? And isn't that what God's already doing? What if we had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our church or in our community or in our county or whatever, and so many people started turning to Jesus that our church in a month or two doubled because people were turning to Jesus and looking for somewhere to be discipled and grow and taught and all that? What if that happened? I can tell you, we couldn't handle it. Our church could not handle it. We couldn't disciple those people. We couldn't care for those people. We couldn't minister to those people. It would literally overwhelm our church in so many ways. We're not ready. And so let me give you a statement that you can write down or think about. If we don't prepare for what we pray for, we're not praying, we're wishing. If we don't prepare for what we pray for, we're not praying, we're wishing. So did I just say prayer doesn't matter? No. Prayer matters a lot. Prayer is the thing. However, you've got to couple it with some other things. And we've got to prepare for what God is doing, or he'll just do it without us. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of what God's doing. So we have to get ready. And you know what that means? That means raising up leaders. Okay, if no one's thought of this question yet, it's just me. But if I were sitting where you're sitting, or I were online this morning watching what you're watching, a question would come to my mind. Why are we so underdeveloped in this area? How did this happen? Well, if you got a couple hours, I can tell you a long story. I'll make it as short as I can. Our church has been through an unusual amount of crisis. Like, I'm not saying there aren't any, and I don't know all the churches. I just don't know a church that's been through the kind of crisis that we have. We've been through a lot of transition in a short amount of time. And I think that the average person at our church is unaware of how much that cost us. It cost us a lot. Now, thank God, by His grace, He sustained us. And thank God, by the faithfulness of the people who carried the most responsibility, we made it through for such a time as this. But the way we made it through is not the way we're going to move forward. That's a different thing. And so we've been through a lot of things, and it's not that we didn't know, it's not that we just figured this out like a month ago, like, oh, that's what we need to do. We've known it for years. We just didn't have the bandwidth to do anything about it because crisis ate up all the bandwidth we had. Does that make sense? Now, earlier this year, I began to put a lot of focus in my own life and my own recovery. And as I'm getting healthier and our staff is getting healthier, it's time for our church to get healthier. And what that means is that means investing in the areas that we've neglected. That means that we make some investments specifically in the area of leadership. Now, to give you a frame of reference, okay? I am 11 weeks into the first normal season of life and ministry I've walked in 20 years. 11 weeks. You cannot address years of crisis and neglect in 11 weeks, right? But we can talk about it, and we are talking about it, and we're shifting the conversation today. And I can tell you, the conversation, best as we can, isn't going to shift over into something else. This is the conversation our church needs to be in for a while now. As I and our staff get healthy, let's get our church healthy. You know why? Because God has a future for this church, and we have not reached our potential yet. And we got to get ready. We got to get ready. We got to get ready. Because there's greater things coming than any of us have seen yet, but we're going to miss it if we're not ready. So we got to get ready. So would you stand with me this morning? We're going to lift our eyes and our voice up to Jesus. And after that, I want to invite you to a very special prayer moment that'll be historic. I don't know if we've ever had one like it. And I just want to ask God to move. So would you just open your heart? Lord, today we open our heart because we believe that you have good things in store, not just for us as a church family, but us as individuals and families, because you're good. We don't have to question that. We don't have to wonder, are you good? You're good. That's been resolved. And so, Lord, we lift our heart and our mind and our voice up to the good God who has good things. And we open ourselves to you and say, now, Holy Spirit, come and do in these next few moments everything you want to do. In Jesus' name, as our worship team leads, lift your heart and your